Oh, maybe it is recording now. No, it's not. All right. So what we're going to be talking about is when there is a difficulty with someone that you are working with online, and you are not finding that they are receiving the healing. It's just a cycle. So for instance, they've contacted you, you've prayed about whatever the issue is, and they seem, you know, certainly improved, and sometimes even healed, at that, you know, on that session that you're with them. And then then they contact you back a few days later, and they say it started again. Now, this is beyond just when you have someone who, you know, say for instance, a really simple example is someone who's had pain in their shoulder or their hips, and you have prayed about it. They've been gotten relief. They are healed. And then the next day they contact you and say, my pain is back. That's very different than what I'm talking about. What I'm actually talking about is when people have had a pattern, okay, a continual pattern of whatever their ailment or issue is returning. For instance, you can have someone that might be having the physical manifestation of pain, okay, and they might even have a name for the disease, or they might have been diagnosed quietly. And when you pray for them, it may be, a lot of it may be even from a place of condemnation, and that's why this thing continually manifests, okay? And then they have relief, you leave them, you know, and the next time you hear from them, they're in the same place they were when you left them before, if not worse. Now, that kind of situation, I was just talking with someone else about it who has quite a bit of experience in that. That situation can even be possession. Now, we usually freak out when we hear the word possession. You know, we think, oh, what do I do with that? But it's just as simple as removing a disease. We just have to stop paying attention to the symptoms and the disease. And what we do is we directly address the tormenting devil that's doing it. You know, removing it, binding it, casting it, taking authority over it. Because when a person is tormented like that, they'll say all kinds of things, you know, whether it's suicide or whether it's that, you know, massive depression, and they'll go back and forth. If you see them swinging back and forth, you know, they suddenly can relate to what Holy Spirit's saying. Suddenly they are able to move in and progress. And you know that there's been breakthrough, and then the next time you talk to them, it's as if you've never talked to them. That is a tormenting spirit. That is a possession. That it's actually gotten so deeply embedded in their thinking that they can't get loose. So we don't address, we're not going to be worrying about all of the symptoms, although you might address that after you deal with this demonic possession. Then you might deal with the actual pain. Or whatever the you know, physical manifestation is. It's just like when Jesus, you know, remember when in the when he went to, across the river, or across the river, across the Sea of Galilee, and he was there. The storm was even there to try to stop him, because on the other side was a man who was possessed by over 6,000 demons. I mean, that would be a real loss for the enemy. And so he tried to kill him on the way across, right? And when he gets there, he doesn't make a big song and dance. In fact, the demons run to him because in his presence they have to bow, and they run to him and beg him. First of all, they say, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" And then they beg him to cast them out into, you know, pigs rather than utter oblivion. And he did. And when we're dealing with someone who has, you know, a situation that is this chronic to-ing and fro-ing, you know, you'll know it by the back and forth. They'll move and then it goes back. They'll move and then it goes back. They'll move and then it goes back. And you're thinking, what's wrong with this person? It's not what's wrong with this person. It's that something, the person I spoke to has a lot of expertise in it, said it was like a tick. You know, if you remove the head only, if you remove the body of a tick, you know, if it's embedded under the skin, the head will grow back. It's the same in the demonic realm. If you only address the symptoms of the ailment and even the disease itself, it will come back because it's based on mental torment. Okay, the man in I think it was Gadarnes, I never can pronounce that, but anyway, that place where Jesus went was tormented day and night. And that's why he did, you know, the chains couldn't hold him. And he terrified the whole region because he was being tormented. And this is what I've had recently experiences of people being tormented by demonic possession. And although they're Christians in the sense of, you know, possession, when we're talking possession, we're not talking about that they are out of their minds. We're talking about that this thing has such a grip on them that they cannot think straight anymore. They can think straight for a while once you get them to a place of truth through the Holy Spirit. But as soon as you're not there again, that thing takes over massively within 24 hours, if not less. And it's really important for us to know how to address it because it will happen. I mean, it's not going to happen every day, but it is an important scenario to know how to handle because it can frighten us or we can give up on that person. That's the most important part about this. We do not want to give up on these people and just drop them like a hot potato because, you know, it's uncomfortable for us or we feel we failed or we don't want to listen to them anymore. We've got to realize if it's coming back the same way every time, it hasn't been dealt with. They have not been made loose because that man that Jesus said to those demons, go, never again was repossessed. Never again was in that torment. He, in fact, was so clear in his mind he wanted to follow Jesus. He didn't call him the next morning and say, you know, oh, wow, those demons are bothering me again, or all those thoughts, or oh, I want to scream and yell amongst the graves. You know, none of that happened. So we have to make sure that we get the whole thing, you know, like a tick, which embeds itself in the skin. My husband even saw it as a worm. It had embedded itself. It was undermining this person. And I could see it too. As we were attacking it, you could see it curl up in the spirit, trying to hide, you know, trying to curl up to protect itself. So we have to get to the root of it and just deal with the demon itself, not worry about, you know, how it's manifesting, because that's the distraction. Always deal with the symptoms. You know, it keeps doing a sideshow for us, so that we don't realize it's there. So it's got the smoke and mirrors happening. And we don't want that to convince us that we've taken care of it. And then what happens is, see, the demon's agenda is to get us so tired out from dealing with this person that we'll walk away without taking care of it, without removing it. That's the whole game. And then that person eventually, sometimes they kill themselves, sometimes they, because it's really suicide, the spirit of murder behind it, sometimes they just go insane, sometimes, you know, just their whole life falls apart, and what we want to make sure is that we're not the ones abandoning ship, okay? It's so important because this does happen in ministry. And it can happen in person, you know, one-to-one ministry or, say, in a church setting. But it also, online, it's very easy to let go of somebody and, you know, not contact them again. It's easy to just disappear. They disappear, you disappear, and, no, you know, never the twain shall meet. So we have to make sure we're really being responsible here for how we handle those kinds of situations. And our biggest focus, I was talking with someone last night about it who's dealt with these kinds of things. He's very in tune in terms of what's going on demonically. And one of the things he mentioned was that you don't focus on all the ailments and the conditions. If it is a reoccurring situation, you just focus on that devil and get it out. It's not, and it's not a big, you know, production. It's simple. You know, you address it, you bind it, you cast it out, you curse it, and you tell it where to go, literally. And that's how you deal with it. And you don't worry about the person's willingness. Because we can get caught up, you know, as much as it's important for us to be willing to receive healing, just like it's important, we have to be willing to receive salvation. So that is a huge element, and that is an important element. When someone's in a position of torment like this or possession, they can't make that decision. That man that was across the Sea of Galilee could not make a decision on, do I want to be saved or not? Do I want to be free or not? He was possessed. His will was taken over, and that's what we've got to get. There are times when someone's will is actually taken over. And we don't want to worry about whether they're Christians or not Christians. What we want to deal with is the fact that if you've addressed something with someone, an illness, and you think that it's either dealt with or at least it's on its way out, and then a few days later or when they next contact you, it's the same situation. And then you move again and you progress, and then they come back and it's the same situation. If you have that over and over and over and over, then what you are looking at is not just a straight illness. You are looking at demonic torment, we can call it possession. I know possession is a word that is way, really charged with a lot of emotion. And most of the time we don't even want to hear that kind of thing. But what we don't have to be afraid of it, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So it's all right that we're not hearing, that we don't, I want to emphasize again, the reason why it's so vital is most of these people will have been dropped many times before. Usually every time.
Right.
Every time. They will seek out help again. They will feel foolish anyway. They will feel like they're draining everyone. They'll usually have been condemned by a number of other, you know, Christians or ministries. And they come to you battered and bloodied and beaten up. And if we do the same to them because we don't understand what's behind it, then we are not doing what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Because what's behind it is just demonic possession. And see, we can get tired. We can get weary of hearing that person week after week or month after month or however long it takes if we don't understand what's behind it. If it's constantly returning, it has not been dealt with, and it's like that tick that you took the head off, and the head grows, and the head's still embedded, and it grows back. And that's why we have to look at, that's how filthy these things are. They're very, evil is evil. And if it can undermine a human being in their minds as well, because that's where it's really going to happen. But see, we don't want to, because what you'll tend to do is want to talk them out of it. That won't work. You want to talk them out of feeling bad. You want to talk them out of focusing on that. You want to talk them into believing, well, yes, the stripes were enough. You want to talk them into his love for them. That's not going to work in a permanent basis if that tick, that demon, is still there. That's going to sedate them temporarily like medication, but it will not deal with the source. And although you need to do that from the standpoint of let them know they matter to you, let them know that they're valuable to God, they absolutely have to have that. We want to deal with the source of it so they don't ever have to be tormented again. It's really, really important. So what, again, the focus is on that, on the devil or the demon, and not what he's causing. Not what that demon's causing, but on the demon itself. See, it wants you to get caught up in and tripped by, like this tripwire is all the symptoms, or is the disease. But we need to actually to address specifically, just like the tick, you know, don't just pull out part of it so it grows back. We want to get the whole head of it. And it isn't a big, you know, production. It isn't something we have to be, you know, freaked out about or going to take us hours to do it. It's nothing like that. It's really simple. It might, you know, might take you a few minutes. It might take you a couple minutes, whatever. But it isn't about, again, it isn't about the illness anymore, the symptoms. Because the person is only looking at what's going on with them, right? The pain or the illness. And then we end up focusing on that too. But we don't want to look at it. You know, we don't want to look. Those are like the sideshow of the enemy. And they focus on that. They keep going back to that. The person keeps going back to that because that's what keeps that devil there or that demon there. And we tell it where to go. We bind it. We cast it out. And we don't focus on what's going on with the person in terms of their symptoms. So we want to get not just the body of the tick, that demon, but the head. Otherwise it grows back. Okay. And it's really, really, really important. Because this is the pattern that I want to describe is torment. What happens is the person comes to you. There's a quick scenario. Just recapping. They come to you. They have an issue. They it's been chronic. It might be for years. You address the illness, the disease, the pain, the symptoms, all of that. They have some kind of breakthrough. They can actually receive something. Then the next time they contact you, it's back the same or worse. We cannot put them in that kind of position. We have to make sure we're getting the core of it. And the core of it is whatever demon has been assigned to that person to try and destroy them. And that's the one we have to get rid of. Okay. And our one of the major focuses here is not giving up on the person, because if we don't understand that sometimes it is just pure torment, we're going to think the person has a problem in their head. Why can't they see that God loves them? Why don't they focus on, you know, what he did on the cross? Why, you know, it's not about that. They can't even think that way. They can't even see that. And for what they might be able to see it when you're with them, because you're going to be the light of Christ pouring out to them, and they're suddenly going to be able to see it again for a temporary period of time while you are there. As soon as you're gone, that thing starts to gain its grip and its territory again, and the person's back to where they were. So we absolutely do not want to leave them in that way. Most of those people that come under that have been left along the roadside many, many times. And that is the last thing we want to have happen to them. We don't want to be another one on the road of the Levite priest going, oh, well, yeah, somebody else will take care of them. That is not what we want to do. We have to make sure that if we don't understand what's happening, and if we're getting tired, you know, it's really important to know it's okay. You do get weary. Sometimes you burn out. Sometimes you're overdoing it. Sometimes you just don't understand the situation and you're tired. So you might need someone else to confer with, and that is perfect. And some people have more expertise in other areas. I spoke to somebody last night that has dealt with a lot of demonic, I wouldn't even say possession partly, but just a lot in the demonic realm. And he understands it really well. He's not frightened of it. He just speaks to it, you know, very plainly, gets the job done, and we're out. You know, like a Navy SEAL. You know, you go in, you do your job, you get out, that kind of thing. And sometimes we need that kind of perspective, especially if someone's been chronic and perhaps they've been on your, you know, schedule, so to speak, of online for a while. And if they have, you don't want to be, like I said, the next in line to drop them, because that's the last thing they need. Or we might as well not start. We need to be committed to the end. Not say we're committed to the end. And if we can't handle it, that's okay. But we don't drop them. We then get someone else that can help us to get this job done. Okay. And we make it a team effort if that's what's necessary. It's fine to you. You know, this is supposed to be a ministry team, not the one man show. So we're not lone wolves in doing this. we're doing it together. And somebody in the in that team will have expertise different than others, and may have had this experience even. So we use that expertise as well. And it's really, really important. I think that the emphasis that I want to make is twofold. One, let's just deal with the stupid devil that's tormenting this person. Let's just make that our focus. In these kinds of situations where it's recurring over and over, they keep going back. They're like backpedaling all the time. And the second thing is, and it may be, it's actually the most important part, is we don't dump them. We don't give up on them. If we can't handle it, we pass it to someone else. We pass the baton, but we let them know, oh, it's not that, you're not good enough, or we can't tolerate you, or this is too hard, or I don't want to deal with you anymore. We let them know, I'm not getting done what you need to get done, so I'm going to get some help. We can admit that to them. It's safe to admit that. It's better than pretending that we're super people. I mean, we are in the sense of through Christ Jesus. But we're not on our own. We're a body, many members. So it's, and we can say that, look, I know someone else who has expertise in this area, so I am going to ask them to either partner with me, or I'm going to actually ask them to take over. It's, either way is fine. With all of this, we're going through Holy Spirit. So it's not on our own backs. It's not our making this up ourselves as we go. It's that if you recognize a pattern like this, of recurring torment, they're fine for a little while, or at least they improve a bit, and then it's back to the same and back to the same. Rather than getting angry at the person, we've got to realize it's a tormenting devil. It's real simple. And I've just been learning that. And our perspective has to be, get the tick out, get the worm out, get the parasite. It's like a parasite. Get it out. Completely. Don't leave a scarab of it left. Make sure it's all gone. And how we do that is we really simply go in there and we cast the stupid thing out, as Jesus did with the man with the 6,000 plus demons. We bind it from returning. And then we have Holy Spirit minister to that person life and resurrection power and restoration. We release him. We just unleash him in that person to just make them like new, so they can feel the value that they have through the Father. Because this is really what this is about. It always goes back to love. Okay, this is the technique part, but the technique is only necessary and is only a small part of the scaffolding. Why you even have the scaffolding is to get that for them to know. It's like the peak of the building is love. They're on the outside. And you're walking up the scaffolding with them, trying to get them to the peak of the building. Let's go to the penthouse. That's where the love of the Father is. That's what we're wanting for them. And these things are standing in their way, and they have nothing to do with them. They're not a part of who they are at all. So that's the perspective we want to take. The word is a deliverance. This is what we're dealing with, which is distinct from disease. Okay, it can manifest as a disease. It can torment the person in terms of how it affects their bodies or even their minds. But it is a deliverance. That's really what we're talking about. So rather than calling it possession, just because people often freak with that word, I know I don't like it, after The Exorcist, I just said, I don't want to know anything about that. But it is a deliverance. That's what you're doing. You're delivering them from the hands of the enemy into the hands of God. That's what we're delivering. So we don't see the deliverance as stopping at the enemy. We see the deliverance now. I've delivered them out of the hands of the enemy. Now I give them to God so that he can restore them and make them whole again. And that's what we're really dealing with. And it is important, because we're not supposed to pretend we haven't grown weary. See, if we con ourselves, or because we want to be heroes, are saying that that we're not tired, or we might be fed up with the person. That may be the truth for us. That is okay. We don't tell them. They don't need to hear that. They've already heard that probably for years. But we go to someone else we know we can trust, another, you know, another member of this team, or if you have someone else in the area, in your own area, fine. It doesn't really matter. And you go to them and you say, look, I'm not handling this anymore. I'm really getting tired of it. And I don't know how to handle it. And then you can confer and you can discuss it and you can work it out. And they may have even just had an experience like that themselves. And therefore, they might, it might be very fresh to them, or they might have had it on a number of occasions. And they see it. You will know through the Holy Spirit who to go to. I knew exactly who I needed to talk to the other day when this occurred. And I went to that person. I knew they had the expertise. I just knew it in the spirit. I do know the person a bit, but there's somebody online that's not a person I know in person. I just knew this person knows. And the Holy Spirit will tell you. Okay, if in yourself, because you're learning, you know, we're all learning here. It's not like he expects us to have all the answers. Now he gives us direct answers. Sometimes we can't hear what he's saying because we're so frustrated. And sometimes that's why we can hear it from somebody else, someone in the flesh. Oh, they can talk to me. I can hear it. Because you might be so emotional yourself. Look, I've listened to this person over and over and over. I'm not getting anywhere. I don't want to even deal with them anymore. Those kind of feelings will come up. So it's very important that we don't back off with that, with them. If we are really frustrated and we don't know how to, deal with it, what we do then is we stop. take a breath, stop. If they're in an urgent situation, if you're on an online situation where you're, on a chat, say, or on a Skype type or whatever, if you're Skyping with them, not face to face, you can be chatting with someone else that you're getting assistance from. Okay, and I'm not talking about deceiving them, but I'm talking about if they're in an urgent situation, you need to deal with it right now, and you may not be up to it. So what you're going to need is that backup right then and there. It's like, okay, this person is urgent. I know so-and-so understands these things. I'm going to contact them. And you can be doing the either Skype typing or the chat or Gmail chat. Gmail chat's really stable. I would suggest everyone gets a Gmail account, because the Gmail account, I have never been bumped out of it. So it's really, really stable. You can really count on it. In terms of a typing chat, and you can have a group typing chat as well on Gmail. So if you're in that moment, and you just really, really, really need to deal with it, it's a bit overwhelming for you, you contact that other person or persons and you say, look, this is what I've got. This is the situation. This person has this, 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 and this. I've dealt with it like this before. I'm not getting anywhere, or we keep going backwards. And that other person can actually tune in and pray too, because the Holy Spirit's in them as well. So, they're going to have their perspective through him. And that's one way to do it. The other way is, because if it is urgent, you have to deal with it right now. So you can't just,
Hello?
You can't just fob them off. Basically, we're talking about teamwork in situations like this. Okay, where it can be overwhelming for us. If the person has something that is continually recurring, we finally realize that they actually need deliverance and we've been dealing instead with disease, then we can get some assistance with the deliverance. And you can do it. It's very simple. Deliverance isn't a big, ornate scenario. People think it is, and they think they have to spend hours, and the person's going to be writhing on the floor and all this stuff. Well, number one, you're online. You're not going to know what they're doing. So, you're not going to have to worry about that. It's real simple. It's the same as when you deal with a disease. You address, you name that thing, you curse it, you cast it out, you remove it, you bind it, and then you release Holy Spirit to do his restoration. And it is simple. But the reason why it becomes so complex is because we keep going, we're not addressing the actual issue. We're not looking at the tick. We just got rid of the body of the tick, but we haven't gotten rid of the head. So the head really is that tormenting devil that makes that person think the wrong things. It's not even the person thinking. And that's why they can't hear you. And what happens is people start to get emotional. You know, people who are ministering, quote unquote, to them start to get emotional and blame the person and say, why can't they hear me? Why aren't they listening to this, you know, what God has done for them? Why aren't they, you know, having the faith to line up with his, you know, work on the cross? They can't. They need deliverance. It's impossible for them. And we need to get the difference. And that's why some ministries will miss that and dump these people and say, well, you know, you really don't want to be healed. And that's not the case at all. Because some of these people would rather die than go through what they're going through. That's how much they want to be healed. And they just cannot get past the tick embedded in their, you know, underneath their soul. And that's that devil. So if we've been dealing with this person for a number of months, say, and, you know, maybe there's a bit of improvement, you know, every time we speak to them, and then they go back, or then the same behavior or same pain or same issues arise again, either at the same intensity or maybe even worse, we haven't dealt with it then. And we're wasting our time because we're not dealing, you know, okay, like for instance, with cancer, you know, people will, it might take a few times to get that thing completely removed, okay? But we're really dealing with a disease. We're really dealing with cells that have gone in rebellion. And I mean, obviously it's demonic from the standpoint of its destruction from Satan in that body. But it's not the same as a deliverance. Disease is not the same as deliverance. It just isn't. And if someone needs deliverance, we need to actually get them delivered from that devil into God's hands. And if we keep having, I mean, I'm not saying give up on them. Absolutely not giving up. That is not an option. It really isn't an option. If we can't handle it, we pass it to somebody who can. And maybe who's even fresh. You know, like when you have shift workers. You don't make that person work 24/7. What are they going to, and you know, say they're making in a factory and they're making these bolts. They're going to make really lousy bolts, you know, if they're working for 18 hours. We pass it over. We say, okay, my shift's over right now. I need to sleep. I need to rest. So I'm going to pass it to this person, but we make sure the person we're dealing with, if they're, you know, say an adult, you know, I'm not talking about a child, but even a child, if the parent, you know, the parents are obviously going to be online with you about this. We let them know we're not giving up on them. We're just taking we're not even have to say we're taking a rest. We just say this person is now going to handle it. I've told them about it, and I'm still praying, but it's kind of like it's their turn. Because they're going to be fresh, fresher than me. We want to make sure they know we're not letting them go. We're not dumping them. It is so important. I mean, I think that's probably almost the crux of this message. The twofold crux is sometimes it ain't disease, it's deliverance. And we need to be able to recognize the difference. And the way we recognize the difference is if it is a recurring thing, it's deliverance. For the most part, I'm not going to make that a fail-safe 100% rule. I'm just going to say, in general, I would call that deliverance. The need is deliverance, not disease. That's not somebody got cured of cancer and 2 years later they get it again. That's not deliverance. This is somebody you pray with, you see a little bit of movement or maybe a lot of movement, and the next time they call you, they're back to ground zero. And then you move them again, or, you know, you and Holy Spirit, because it's not you anyway, but you know, they all of a sudden open, they're released a bit, their bodies are relaxing, they're maybe not as much pain, maybe they can sleep, maybe they're not, you know, the thoughts now have changed, and then the next time they contact you, it's all back. That's deliverance. That's when we're looking at deliverance. But the other element here, it's almost like the double D, no dumping and deliverance. That's what we're dealing with. And I would say the no dumping comes first. Because if we drop them, you know, they're going to lose all hope. And they're already usually at the end of their rope anyway. And we certainly don't want to be helping them lose all hope. Because there's hope in Him. So why would we even do that? Even if we don't understand it, see, this is what happens is we try to figure it out. And even in these series, I don't want to get too much in the technical. I want to, in the standpoint of, we want to have rungs on a ladder, but we don't want to be so caught up on those rungs on the ladder that we get stuck there. We always go to Holy Spirit. And how I found out about this was that I went to Holy Spirit going, I don't know what to do for this person anymore. And Holy Spirit directed me to somebody who did. That's how good he is, and that's how involved he is. So if we can't handle it, and maybe we can't even hear from him, you know, our heads might be, oh, this is too hard for me. I'm bombarded. I don't know what to do for them. I tried. And you're feeling like failure because the enemy's trying to hit you. So that you see, the enemy's whole agenda is that you give up on them. That's what the enemy's trying to do with that person. So that they do end up killing themselves or they do end up going insane. That's his game, total destruction. And if he can get you discouraged and overwhelmed so that you give up on them, there you go. Then that, you know, maybe you're the 20th person who's given up on them. And that's just the last one they can't take anymore. So we got to realize we are dealing with life and death here. It's so vital, but we're not under this big burden. See, you know, we got to realize, yeah, we're dealing with life and death, but who's in us? Life. And not that it's all up to us. We can't do it at all. Without Christ, I can do nothing. So it's not like I'm supposed to, you know, be the magic person and wave my wand and get them well. It's that when I don't understand what to do, I go to Holy Spirit. He may tell me to go to see somebody else. He may say, this person, you know, it's not like he told me, go talk to this person because they have the expertise. You know, that's, you know, we all know Holy Spirit doesn't act like that. He's fluid. He gives you that thought. You go, oh, okay, yep, that feels right. Contact them. They give you some information. You go, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize it was deliverance. Now I get it. And that's how we go step by step. But Holy Spirit's been directing you the whole time. So we're not burdened in the standpoint, because you can get to this place. You know, you may really start to get a connection with this person because it's the love of the Father that's making you want to do this in the first place. And you sometimes your compassion will just pour out, and then because you don't see them being free, you feel burdened. And that's not what we're supposed to do, because he says to cast our cares on him, because he cares for us. He doesn't want us falling apart. He cares for us just as much as he cares for them. It's not like, oh, go and be my workhorse. That's not his, that's not the daddy's heart at all. You know, for him, it's a playground. We're in the playground called Earth, you know, and we're learning, and oh, this is a swing, and this is how a seesaw works, and oh, these are the monkey bars. They're pretty cool, you know. For him, it's like, because I'm with you all the time. Daddy's with you. So we don't have to feel alone in this, and we don't have to make it into some kind of flippant technique or method. Never make it a method, never. When we say this is deliver, we just want to recognize what we're dealing with. That's all this is about. And then we want to make sure that we don't disappoint that person or discourage them by dropping them when maybe we are not getting a handle on it. That's like the vital aspect of it. When it's deliverance, the will of the person is entrapped and entangled with the symptoms or the illness or the disease or the torment. Just like the man with the 6,000 demons, which were legion. So their will is entangled as well. It's not a simple, this is a disease, we cast it out, we bind it, we get rid of it. This is their own will has gotten entangled, and that's why they either call it deliverance or possession. Our focus isn't on what's happening. Our focus is on that demon, not what the demon is causing to happen in deliverance. So when, rather than calling things a particular spirit, you know, this is a spirit of infirmity, this is a spirit of discouragement, this is a spirit of whatever, unless Holy Spirit tells you, we don't make a blanket rule that, if this happens, this is a spirit of such and such. Because we might be missing what Holy Spirit's actually trying to tell us. So for instance, with some people who have Lyme disease, theirs is not heavy. It is an oppressive disease and a spirit. When it attaches, but some people don't manifest it as strongly as others. So if it's with some people, it can just be a light film over them, but we want to get it before it gets worse. And other people, it's so I wouldn't be naming it spirit of infirmity, go. I would be calling it what Holy Spirit tells me it is. It's very personal. He will tell you in a specific person. It will not just even what it manifests like. He will show you in the spirit visually what you're dealing with. And then you will ask him, what do I do now? How do I pray for this? And that's what we're really doing. It's a moment by moment, spirit led healing. It's not somebody said in, 2001 that this is a spirit of infirmity, so that's what we call it. It's not a figuring out either. It's not digging deep and trying to work it out. It's going to him. He's always gives you simple answers, and he's to the point. Holy Spirit is always to the point and precise. He always hit, he's got perfect aim, and he always hits his target. So we might as well go to him, the teacher of all things. That our main focus, again, is always the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and his leading in any kind of ministry we're doing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's for disease, whether it's actually restoration of a person's relationship with God, whether it's their difficulty even in their, their circumstances, not just, an illness of any kind. We're always wanting to be led by him, and we have to inquire of him in order to do that. So he's our first port of call. We do seek out support, and he sometimes will tell us whom to seek out support with. He will make that clear, somebody who he's already taught that you can learn from. He does that. He knows who to call on. And so that's what this is. The main focus of it is to allow him to lead us in all circumstances of ministry, let alone all of our own lives. And the more we do that with him in our own lives, the easier it is to do in ministering to others. So the biggest difference with, deliverance / possession in terms of praying for someone isn't the major difference is just the focus, that we focus on the devil or the demon that is causing it, not on what it is causing. We focus on the demon, not what the demon is causing to happen in their bodies, because that's the distraction. And the other part of it is that we want to deal with the crux of it, their need for deliverance, not what's happening in their body. And because people get frightened about deliverance or possession, and they think, oh my goodness, this is a major, ordeal, or what's going to happen to me, or what's going to happen to them. I was in Indonesia. I saw the most amazing deliverance I've ever seen in my life. And because there wasn't a lot, this man went into a full-on epileptic fit. Okay. I'd never seen that myself. And he was convulsively shaking, and the head and the arms and the legs and everything. He wasn't foaming at the mouth, but everything else was shaking. And the man that was there, and I and another person were praying and commanding, to go or whatever. And it would calm down temporarily, and it would just flare up again. This other man came up who had done a lot of deliverance. He came up and he quietly, it was amazing, he said, I bind the strong man in Jesus' name. And he just looked at it, and he was so quiet. And he pointed his finger at it. And then the man laid down. We actually all laid the man down. He just calmed down. And he laid there, and we still prayed on him. We prayed, we had his hand on his heart and on his brain, praying quietly. And he stopped shaking. And he said it all in Indonesian, so I didn't know what this guy was saying. And then he brought the man back. We lifted him back up. He was very calm, and his eyes were back, because his eyes were going back at his head. His eyes were focused. And I went up to the man who had done it, and I said, what did you do? What did you say in Indonesian? He said, I bound the strong man and told it and cast it out. And that was it. But he did it he said, I know who I am in Christ. And I know it has to go. And there is something to that. We need to have that. We can't be frightened. When we hear the word possession or deliverance, people usually freak out. Christians freak out. And they think of The Exorcist or some such malarkey. And we don't want to do that. you know, we want to look at it. It actually is a simple operation. It's almost like a surgery, okay? You know, like in a doctor's surgery. Here they call them doctor surgeries, not the clinic or outpatient or whatever. They, you know, even if you go to a private doctor, it's called the doctor's surgery, not that he's performing surgery. But in this case, we're talking about when you have it, you're not even overnight, your day surgery. This is like a day surgery, deliverance. So we don't have to become fluffy or ruffled about it. We just know that what we're dealing with is we focus on the demon, not on what the demon is doing. And that makes it pretty simple then, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of that fear and distraction away. And what's associated with deliverance and possession is is that terror, you know, horror movies. It's not like that. It's not. When I've done it, when I did it with that one person in another country, not that that's been the only one, but that particular one was really manifesting. And when I learned that I was allowed to let it manifest, that I wasn't supposed to just, you know, try to suppress it, that, you know, it's not dictating what we do. And as it starts to come out, we're not supposed to freak out or try to suppress it. We are commanding it to come out as it's doing it. We're not saying stop, stop, stop. You know, that's one method. Now see, this is a very different method than what I saw in Indonesia. Indonesia, he just bound the strong man and it stopped. So again, I wouldn't look at method. We are going to, even in deliverance, which is, you know, usually people have a particular method in deliverance because it can get really messy sometimes with some people, you know, depending on how, the extreme of it. But you still go to Holy Spirit. Like he doesn't know how to do deliverance? He's been at every deliverance. You know, I think he knows how to do it. So we never rely on method. We can use clues, you know, or hints that other people have done. And said, oh, wow, or points, like that point that other person gave me, which was, we're not dealing with the distraction of the ailment or the symptoms or what the devil is doing. We're dealing with the devil itself. That's a big distinction because it doesn't want you to look at it and see it. It wants you to keep going to the pain. It wants you to keep going to the weakness. It wants you to keep going to what's happening in the brain. It wants you to do all that. You'll spend the rest of, you know, your life doing that, and that person will still be ill. But if we actually go to the parasite, because really, a possession is an expression of a demonic parasite. It's living off that person, and it needs that person's body to do it. So we want to get rid of the parasite, you know, whether it's in the whatever form it takes. The tick is a good version of it to look at, because if with a tick, if you don't get the head, the body grows back. So we need to get the head of that stupid devil. And how we do that is by whatever method Holy Spirit tells you, whether he tells you to, yeah, let it manifest and then cast it out, whether he tells you, yep, bind the strong man, or whether he tells you, I want you to speak really in a whisper. You know, you don't know what he's going to say. And neither do I for each situation. But it's more important to listen to what he's going to say than worry about some method that somebody else has used for 20 years that maybe works for them, or maybe worked for them for the first 15 years, and the last 5 years they're just doing it anyway. We don't know. So it's better just to go to him and let him handle that. And also to be a team. It's to use this, you know, these things that come up, even in people that we know, you know, amongst our own groups, to use these to learn from, not as we're using people as guinea pigs, but these situations come up, so we're going to have to learn because they're here in front of us. And then go to each other and find out which one, who knows about this, who knows about that. And the more we get to know each other in the group, the more we'll be able to go to whichever one has that kind of expertise and learn from each other. And then we become experts in it. Not that we're doing exactly what they do, because the person isn't, we're not listening to how they pray. oh, they said this first, and then they said that, and then they said that, and then, no, we're listening to what they're saying of the perspective that we need to have. That's more important. What's our perspective on it? Number one, we don't give up on them. If we can't handle it anymore, we go to somebody else and we get them to help, pray. If even that is too much, like we just don't have the impetus, we don't have the heart for it anymore for that person, let it go. Give it to somebody else that can have that heart, you know, shift work. But we have to do it delicately, without the person feeling like they've been dismissed. It's very important that we do it in a way where we might even be doing the teamwork behind the scenes and they don't even know. And that is fine. Because we're needing that support ourselves. They don't need to know that we're needing support. And it doesn't mean that we will need that support, but we might. And again, Holy Spirit will lead us to who we can trust and who we want to get that support from. And if it's in our own group that, you know, this online ministry series group, fine. But you might have somebody else that you feel so close to or you've had such experience with in prayer that you want to go to them. And that's fine as well. There's no rules about it. We just want to be able to have access to each other as, you know, many members, one body, body of Christ. That's really what we're doing, you know, helping each other out and helping that member of the body that needs deliverance. Because our goal is that they're free. And then they can, you know, then they can have a full life and share the love of the Father. That's what this is all about. You know, it's not notching up, you know, or making notches in our belts. We want their freedom. You know, the whole point of it being deliverance is that we don't want to be duped by the devil. We don't want to be focused on, you know, symptoms, and distraction of those symptoms. And yet the person, okay, they might improve temporarily, and then they go back, or worse. Then you're looking at potentially deliverance. Something's got a hold of them. It's usually got a hold of their mind as well. So their will, this is what I think one of the major parts of deliverance, their will is entangled with the will of that devil. And that's why it's so serious. On one level it's serious, but we're not supposed to back off or be afraid of that, how serious it is, because we have Holy Ghost. And excuse me, greater is he that is in me. You know, so it's not like I'm afraid. I just have to ask Holy Spirit, how do I handle this? And we can go to other people who've had experience in it and get help along the way. That primary issue, Holy Spirit's showing me, is that their will is entangled, and that's why they might be suicidal. Okay? Because it's not them. Because I had another teaching on it, which lion are you listening to? And on that, there was Holy Spirit really went into detail about suicide being a mask for the spirit of murder. And murder is what was behind it. And if the devil could convince the person to kill themselves, the devil didn't have much of a job to do. That was pretty easy for him. He didn't have to waste his time. So that's why it's really important to look at it. If their will isn't, that's another sign that it's deliverance. There's a necessity of deliverance. If their will is entangled with the will of that devil, so they're saying things that don't make sense for a Christian to say, then you've got to look at, ooh, That devil's got a hold of their thinking and their tongue. And we don't just do, well, do affirmations and confess this and confess that. And, you know, you should be agreeing with God and all of that. That isn't going to work for them. They might say it temporarily because, you know, they feel like you're going to be mad at them, or you might, you know, drop them. But it's not going to be a permanent relief and freedom. And that's what we want for them. We want that stupid head of that stupid devil called the tick or parasite in them gone, dislodged completely.